The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This morning, supporters waited in line in the rain to hear the former president, a borough that voted 90% for Biden in 2020, which today became a bit more red. After 4 years, you could feel the buyer's remorse. Johnny was there as our witness.
Why are you here today?
To support Donald Trump.
I am here for Trump.
To support Donald Trump. To put America first.
What do you like about Donald Trump?
Everything. He's from Queens, and he speaks our language.
I like Trump because he keep it real. He don't got no filter. He's for the people.
He speaks money, and this is what the country needs. We need money, not inflation. We need money.
Everything was under control. We had low inflation. We had gas under $1.80.
And just to set the stage for what the media is going to try to do, they're going to try to say, the mainstream media, this is a very small crowd. I would immediately push back and say, if Donald Trump, if this is the smallest crowd, it's bigger than any crowd we've seen from Joe Biden on the campaign trail. So by Democrats' definition of success, this is a massive success if you compare it to Joe Biden.
Hello, New York City, and hello to all of the incredible, tough, strong, hardworking American patriots right here in the Bronx. Who would think? Who would think? I'm thrilled to be back in the city I grew up in, the city I spent my life in, the city I helped build, and the city that we all love, New York City. And I'm here tonight to declare that we are going to turn New York City around, and we are going to turn it around very, very quickly. Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. This is something. You know, we wanted to keep it small because who knew? This is like a love fest. Love fest. It's a love fest. We love you. You know that when I called for this rally, we said, let's just have a meeting. Don't call it a rally. And so many people showed up. I said, like it or not, this is a rally. This is like a, far as the eye can see, you have to see the lines outside, they're going for miles. But when we saw it and we saw the love, because I called up this morning, do the people like me or do they hate me? They said, they don't like you, sir, they love you. I said, oh, thank you. So I appreciate it. And I love you too. But above all else,
you can bottle him up in a courtroom like they have, and Lord knows they're going to try to do it again. But Trump makes the best of it. I mean, this is, so he's having a rally in Crotona Park, Bronx, South Bronx. It's becoming a national rally, okay? Yeah. People all over the country, mm-hmm. by the end of tonight, are going to know where Corona Park actually is in the South Bronx.
Just looking at some of the reporting, Lawrence Jones just posted on X that he's been to a lot of Trump rallies. He's at the Bronx now, along with Johnny and Alexis McAdams. He says he's never seen anything like this. So something's happening out there.
Something is happening out there. Pretty amazing. It's remarkable, really, to watch. The man that's, he's supposedly been destroyed dozens of times politically. And there he is in the South Bronx, of all places, having a rally with how many thousands and thousands of people? As I say, it's remarkable to witness this. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of the work week. Hard to believe. Friday is already upon us. Appreciate Richard Palmer subbing in on yesterday's show. We had been working to line up that interview with Jim Ferguson. which he went through yesterday on the show. So it just worked out perfectly. Richard said he had the interview set finally for yesterday morning. And then I said, well, how about if you just take the entire show? So great to get Richard's perspective. And by the way, no thumbs down for I've probably already got one thumbs down for today's show. Richard has none on yesterday's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel where you can do thumbs up or thumbs down. Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily takes you right to our live stream of this program. Coming up on today's show, we've got a lot to get to. Friday, being that it's Friday, we've got the World Watch segment lined up. Also, following the performance last night in Shreveport, Louisiana, the Celtic Throne performance, we've got Celtic Throne feedback lined up as well. That's always a popular feature on this program. The summer tour is off and running, and we'll give you some feedback a little bit later on. If you would like to go to any of the shows in the Southeast over the next 2.5-3 weeks, just go to CelticThrone.com and you can find out all that you need to know about securing tickets. So here again, last night, by the way, with my family gone, I haven't sat down and I wouldn't say I was just watching TV all night, but I haven't watched Fox News in quite some time. Occasionally we'll get some clips from Jesse Waters and so on. But because of the Trump rally, I just tuned it on. I guess the Trump rally was at 6 p.m. Eastern, I forget. So you had Brett Baer's show and then following him, Laura Ingraham. And I was just amazed at how much coverage Fox News gave Donald Trump. I mean, not too long ago, they didn't show his rallies. They didn't really refer to any of his movements politically. They were all in on Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, by the way, she comes out yesterday and says, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. So here you have all these Republicans that are unifying, and you've got Donald Trump going into the Bronx and 20, 25,000 people turning out. This is just a couple weeks after he went to New Jersey, and there were 80 or 90,000 people. Trump going into, think about Joe Biden for a moment. Coming into any red, like, suppose he came to Oklahoma. Suppose he went to Enid, Oklahoma. How many people do you suppose would turn out for the fake president in a red district, in a red state? Donald Trump's going right into the bluest of blue areas. As you heard from Jesse, 90% for Biden just 3.5 years ago. And then there's Trump. He shows up and he says, hey, this is the city I helped to build. And we're going to rebuild it once I'm back in office. This lawfare that was supposed to be like an ankle bracelet, as AOC said, to keep him locked into New York City. And, well, he turns up at the Bronx. That's AOC's district, by the way. Look at this from an AOC. I don't know exactly the date on this, but this is when AOC was campaigning or had a town hall in the Bronx not that long ago. Clip 12.
Okay. So I'm looking out for you all. So there's two things. First, federally, when the president's marijuana
relief. Can you feel the excitement? There's hardly anyone there. And she says, you know, I'm here for you. Donald Trump shows up at the Bronx. We've had some articles over the years about how that the tide is turning. We were talking about this even back in, I think it was 2019. The Trump tide is definitely coming in. This is from Fox. It says, former President Trump has broken political norms by visiting one of the most deep blue areas in New York City, a town not necessarily known for its kindness to Republicans. Trump rallied a crowd of what his campaign estimated to be 25,000 supporters at Crotona Park in the Bronx on Thursday, far more than the initial 3,500 it said were expected to attend. They were expecting 3,500, and they got about 10 times that, or 8 or 9 times that. It's remarkable. Those numbers appeared to also include those lined up outside the event who waited hours for a shot at getting inside even after the event began. It's really, I mean, he's probably not going to win New York, but when you think of it politically, it's a masterful strategy as he's making Democrats worried about some of their deep, dark blue districts. If they have to start pouring money into New York or wherever, like I say, it's quite the strategy politically. But even leaving New York aside, I mean, look at the visuals. Look at the impact that so many of the people at that rally were minorities, blacks, Hispanics. As you know, just looking at the polling, I mean, he's peeling away minorities. The Democrat stronghold. This is one of my favorite moments from the speech last night. The lady, I guess she fainted, and he paused. Donald Trump, he paused for like 3 minutes to make sure that the woman was okay. Look at this montage, clip 14.
Are you okay? Are you guys okay? Oh. Okay, take your time. Yeah. Take your time. Doctor, any doctor, please? Doctor in the house. Are you okay? You take your time, darling.
Yeah.
Take your time, Doc.
We have time.
Some people waited here for 2 days. It's tough. Plenty of time. That's good.
Water.
She all right? She okay? She doing all right? She doing okay? Plenty of time. Okay? You okay?
Thank you. Doctor, thank you very much, doctors. We got a lot of doctors in the house. Thank you, darling. That's great. I know she's going to be okay because she's so tough.
Thank you, darling. You remember all those cases where people would faint at an Obama rally when he would just ignore them and carry on with his speech? He was the dear leader. Here's Trump pausing for 3 minutes. Are you okay, darling? Are you sure you're going to be? Hey, I know you're going to be okay because you're tough. It's a positive message. That's what you compare, and some columnists have written about this already, but you compare last night's speech given in front of a lot of minorities with what Joe Biden, his commencement to that college in Georgia, I think it was, and just how negative it was. It was an all-black college, I believe. And he talked about, you're victims. The country doesn't love you. The country's coming after you. And compare it to the tone of Donald Trump's speech last night in the Bronx. Listen to, this is a bit from Trump's speech, clip 2.
But sadly, this is now a city in decline. Throughout my life, I've seen New York through good times and bad, through boom times and crime waves, through market crashes and terrorist attacks, but I've never seen it quite like this. We have filthy encampments of drugged out homeless people living in our places that we've spent so much time with children where they used to play. We have lunatics killing innocent bystanders by pushing them onto the railroad tracks for sport. Our subways are squalid and unsafe. The ceiling tiles are falling down, and they look worse than a third world country. The medians of our highways are crumbling. Our sidewalks are littered with garbage, bottles, and trash. But worst of all, the discarded needles from people that so desperately are in need of help. And we have mobs of migrants fighting our police officers and giving America the middle finger. But we are not going to let this continue. We are not going to abandon our hope and our pride.
We're not going to abandon hope and pride. We're going to clean up our cities. We're going to make them safe so that you can live in peace. This was the message. Play clip 3.
And importantly for the people that are before me today, we are going to make life in New York affordable again. It's gotten totally out of control. The minute crooked Joe Biden shuffles out the door, I will rapidly rebuild the greatest economy, the history of the world. Look, we had the greatest economy in history. Everybody here, where you have a small business or if you had a job, you were getting more than you ever made. And we had no inflation. We had no 1.4%, considered none, considered better than none, because frankly, none in its own way is a bad thing also. We had a perfect number, 1.4%. It doesn't matter whether you're black or brown or white or whatever that color you are. It doesn't matter. We are all Americans, and we're going to pull together as Americans.
Pretty positive and hopeful message coming from Donald Trump in the Bronx, of all places. This is the New York Post, their editorial board. Remember the New York Post saying that, yeah, the Florida man is he's running for the presidency. I mean, they were so, Murdoch's outfits were so anti-Trump, from the Post to Fox. Like I said, just watching Fox last night, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. They were actually cutting away to live shots of the rally and then heaping praise on top of Donald Trump. The New York Post, when Trump announced that he was going to run for president again, the New York Post said, yeah, a Florida man is going to run for the presidency. Just totally dismissing it. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. And now you've got Nikki Haley coming around. I mean, the Trump tide is moving. The New York Post says, we are going to win New York, Donald Trump boasted at what he described as his Bronx Love Fest Thursday evening. The title of this piece, by the way, Trump will win if he does more speeches like the one in the Bronx. Trump will win. Look at that headline. That's the New York Post editorial board. It says you don't see Joe Biden flying into Texas or Louisiana for a rally. He has a hard enough time convincing registered Democrats that he's not a failed president. I showed you the clip the other day of that event where they just had the few round tables. At least it wasn't hula hoops. But there was hardly anybody there, and there was no energy whatsoever. Trump has an energized base, giving him the flexibility to, say, spend a weekend on a New Jersey beach or an evening in the boogie down Bronx. He's actively courting black and Hispanic voters, and it's having an impact. It says here, this is the New York Times editorial board. Democrats have taken these groups for granted for so long that Trump rightly sees that they're hungry for change. Biden's speech at Morehouse College was an appeal to victimhood, claiming that America has been and always will be a racist nation. Trump is pitching opportunity, a better life, as you can see. I mean, just the whole tone of his speech compared to the fake presidents. It says everything that you need to know. Listen to Trump as he talked about success yesterday in that speech, clip 4.
So I believe in the expression. Did you ever hear this expression? The harder you work, the luckier you get. You know who said that? A great golfer named Gary Player. He was smaller than other golfers, but he worked harder than other golfers. And he ended up with the most career wins of any golfer. He ended up with 9 majors. And, you know, he was small in stature, but big right up here. But he made that say. It was the first time I ever heard about it. He said, it's a funny thing happens. The harder I work, the luckier I get. That was an athlete saying that. Amazing, right? It's the first time I heard it. Probably been said by others, but it's true. I can tell you, if you didn't work really hard, there is very little chance that I would be standing here right now. Another part of success is something I learned from my father. I had a wonderful father, wonderful parents. I'm lucky. You got to be lucky. Got to get great parents. If you're going to spend your life working really hard, you have to love it. You have to pick something that you really enjoy.
That's unusual for a politician to go on and on about working hard. You put a Democrat in that same spot, and undoubtedly they're going to be talking about, well, we'll have more handouts for you, more government programs that we'll put in place to take care of you so you don't have to do much of anything. This New York Post piece, it says, Trump spent part of his Bronx speech talking about his career as a real estate developer, about perseverance, about his love of New York City. It's a welcome change from the parade of grievances that marked his rallies last year. Our advice to Trump, do this more. Your business background was part of what appealed to voters in 2016. So the New York Post, I mean, they're on board. I guess they're still basically saying, you know, don't talk about the election being rigged in 2020. Just focus on the positives. You know, and there's a lot to be said for that. This man is a success. He's actually changed the city of New York, the skyline. It's different because of what he has constructed, what he built. The New York Post, for its part, says, hey, can we get more of this? This is awesome. You do this and you win. Trump will win if he does more speeches like the one in the Bronx. It says here, you don't need to win the Bronx in 2024, but keep up the themes that you brought there and you'll win all the swing states that you need to. Keep up with those same themes. Here's a bit more from last night, clip five.
Another lesson: when times are tough, sometimes that's when you perform the best. You have to learn that about yourself. You have to learn it about yourself. Some of the greatest days of my business career were in the toughest times, but I enjoyed waking up every single morning and go to battle. A lot of people say to me today, the toughest business people, people that you know about, could I ask you a question? How do you do it? I say, do what? How do you get up in the morning and put your pants on? Why do you put the pants on? I'll explain it to you someday. How do you do it? How do you get up? How do you do it? How can you want to do with what you do? They're after you. They're after you. These horrible human beings are after you all the time. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, lawsuits, all of. And they're doing it to injure the political opponent of an incompetent candidate because he can't run fairly and squarely. And I say, you know what I do? I just do it. I put on the blinders. I say, I just do it. We do it. And the other question they ask me is, will it happen again? And we have to make it too big to rig. We got a lot of great people watching. We have to make it too big to rig.
Too big to rig. How do you do it? How do you keep going forward? How do you weather all these storms? He's a unique individual. And as we said a few years ago in the Trumpet magazine, the tide is turning in his favor. It's obvious now. You've got Fox News, you've got the New York Post. I mean, obviously the morning meltdown and those people, they're going to keep attacking and comparing him to Hitler and all those things like you've heard earlier this week. But look at the tide. Here again is Donald Trump from yesterday, clip six.
You have to always keep moving forward. And when it's your time, you have to know it's your time. And I said to myself, in terms of politics, I said, you know what? We did so well in number one. We did even better in number two. I said, we got to do it again because you have to do it. Maybe I'm wrong. And I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it to make America great again. You know, if I didn't think we won, easily won, I would never do this. Because you know what? In many ways, it's easier. You have a winner, you have a loser. It's okay. I won once. It was a big upset, I guess. I don't know why it was an upset. Because I'd go and I'd have 50,000 people at a rally. She'd go and have 200 people. And then they say, why did I win Michigan? Why did I win Pennsylvania? Why did I win all these states that a Republican hadn't won in many years? Why? And by the way, we're up in Pennsylvania. We're up in Michigan. We're up in New Hampshire today. We're up in Florida at numbers that you wouldn't even believe. But I also think it's very important to know what you want. You have to set your sights high, set your sights so high, higher than you ever thought possible, and make your goals big and go after it. That's why I say we won't just make New York a little better. I say we want to make New York a lot better, better than it ever was before. Right? And finally, you have to take pride in your accomplishments. Do not take for granted what you've achieved. Forget it. It's over. It's good for your confidence, but it's over. Go forward. Think to the future, not to the past, but learn from the past.
More speeches like this, and he'll win, says the New York Post editorial board. This was how the regime media responded to the Bronx rally, clip 7.
This is an attempt to, I think, trick some of our folks here, but I think the Bronx knows better. What we see here is that former President Trump has been in court. He has mounting legal fees. And this is about covering the increasingly precarious financial situation that he's in.
Well, I'll tell you, it won't make a difference at all, Jake, and that is for Donald Trump to be the ringleader of and invite all his clowns to a place like the Bronx. New York will never, ever support Donald Trump for president.
Well, do you think it was wise of the president, former president, to do this? I mean, obviously, New York's not considered a swing state. Do you expect this event will help?
I mean, I think it is wise, Anderson. Of course, he doesn't expect to win the state. I don't think any Republican presidential candidate would expect to win the state. But from a strategic position, if you could somewhat put the state in play a little bit by making your opponent have to spend more, or do more in terms of resources to shore up that base, that key constituency, then I think strategically that's very sound. Donald Trump appears, at least, to be attempting to make some efforts. And I wouldn't ignore these things. I don't think anyone should be so presumptive to just assume that people, regardless of their race, will vote one way or the other. Smart. You are seeing sort of a realignment in many ways, Anderson, of hardworking blue-collar workers, not just white, but African-American, Hispanic Americans, who appear to be frustrated with the current reality from President Biden. And
what else really stood out to you about the rally?
I will say this rally did look a lot like America. There was a lot of Asian voters there. There were a lot of Hispanic voters, a lot of black voters there, which is not typical for a Trump rally that no. I go to when I'm in Wisconsin or Michigan.
Yeah. What was the crowd like and what kind of response did he get?
Well, certainly a bigger crowd than I think Democrats would like to see, particularly given this is one of the bluest counties in the entire country. Now, one of the things that I found was that there were a lot of people here that were actually from the Bronx.
I don't know if New York is definitely a blue stronghold. All states are red states. We just have blue cities in red states. New York is the reason why Joe Biden didn't have unified government in 2022. We're the ones who lost the four members of the House who went over to the Republican Party. So, yes, it seems like a long shot that, you know, Donald Trump would ever win New York. But looking at those Lee Zeldin numbers in 2022 does make me realize that there are a lot more Republicans and dissatisfied Democrats in the state of New York than we'd like to admit.
Wow. That's the regime. I mean, there's some that explain it away and say that Trump just bust in, a bunch of his supporters. But the more honest supporters or reporters, I should say, they're saying, hey, this looks like America. This was a diverse crowd. There were lots of minorities here. There were lots of people here. And, we don't want to take them for granted. Listen to Jesse Waters as he talks about the coalition that Donald Trump is building. Clip 9.
And blue-collar Democrats who've been slighted for decades are all joining together as a part of a growing movement from the ground up. The movement reaches from the heartland to the street corner. It's everywhere. And the Bronx is just the beginning. Trump's campaigning on Biden's side of the field now. Look for more rallies in swing state blue cities like Philly, Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, Las Vegas. We're fundamentally altering the American political coalition and returning power to the people. Some would say we're saving democracy.
Fundamentally, interesting word choice there. Fundamentally altering the political coalition. It's remarkable to watch. As I said, my father was talking about the Trump tide. Back in 2019, he sent this out in a coworker letter. He quoted from Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, how that there's a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune, omitted all the voyage of their life, is bound in shallows and in miseries on such a full sea. Are we now afloat, it says, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. In other words, take the current, ride the tide. Now, the tide did recede a fair bit when they stole the election in 2020. And as my father has written, God allowed for that so that the corruption, the lawlessness, the evil could be exposed. And it has been exposed. And more people are waking up to that, even in the Bronx, even in New Jersey. They see the evil. They see the corruption. They see the curses. They see the sickness. In 2022, and again, this is our Trumpet magazine. This is the one from last January. Ready for war. War in 24. If you don't have a subscription, make sure you call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. There's no cost, no obligation. Just sign up for 1 year of tomorrow's news today. Hopefully you'll extend it into a second and a third year. You can also get to the Trumpet magazine, or at least the content in the Trumpet, at our website, thetrumpet.com. We want to put it out there to the largest audience possible. This is from 2022. An article my father wrote, Barack Obama Exposed. It says, in the fall of 2020, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe declassified critical documents exposing the fact that the Steele dossier and the plot against Donald Trump traced all the way up to top officials in the Obama administration, including President Barack Obama. He was behind it all. He's the one who's been behind these attacks on these deranged attacks on Trump since 2016. He's the one who never accepted the results of the presidential election in 2016. He's the one that rigged 2020. In his deep state, as you heard earlier this week, I mean, Jim Comey and those types, they love it. They love it when the FBI and the DOJ go after Donald Trump and Trump supporters. They love a weaponized DOJ. Says here, Ratcliffe told Bartiromo that everyone associated with the Steele dossier, with its creation, its peddling to the FBI, and its use by law enforcement authorities against the Trump campaign, is in criminal jeopardy right now. See, Barack Obama, he's been exposed. The dear leader, he's been exposed. Where do all roads lead to? Only one person had the all-consuming motive and malice. Only one person had the forceful, dominating will. Only one person had the necessary ring of powerful accomplices in the government and in the media. This is from, again, 2022. Barack Obama exposed. It says here, only one person had and has the unassailable pride and tyrannical power to accomplish this ongoing treason against the United States of America. He must be named. That man is Barack Obama. He must be named. He must be exposed. The corruption must be exposed. And it has been. But listen to this from the same article. My father says, but I believe the tide is turning. We're about to see a sizable amount of this corruption brought to justice. God is at work. God is at work. It says, as 2 Kings 14:27 says, though Satan is working to destroy America and to blot out the name of Israel, God is going to stop it by the hand of Jeroboam, speaking of a modern day type of King Jeroboam II of ancient Israel. That man is Donald Trump. So this is what we're witnessing. This is why it's so remarkable. I mean, he's going right into these deep, dark blue districts. And it's no problem. They're expecting 3,500, 25,000 show up. How about that? The tide is definitely turning against the dear leader. The Trump tide is gaining momentum. And it's prophesied. It's prophesied. If you don't have America under attack, make sure, besides getting a subscription to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators as well and secure your free copy of this wonderful book, this powerful book, America Under Attack. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. When we come back, we've got some Celtic Throne feedback. We've got this week's edition of World Watch and a few other things as well. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
China reclaimed its position as India's largest trading partner in fiscal year 2024, according to data released by the Global Trade Research Initiative on May 12. The U.S. had been India's largest trading partner for the past 2 years. India's bilateral trade with China totaled $118.4 billion, slightly overtaking its trade with the United States. India's exports to China rose by 8.7%, and imports from China increased by 3.2%. India and China have many tense points in their relations, but the numbers show that the two are navigating their differences and deepening ties while moving away from the West. Bible prophecy indicates that India and China will be major players in a massive multinational Asian alliance that will soon form. To learn more about this prophesied relationship and how it will affect the world, read Chapter 4 of our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. Hamas plans to set up a secret base in Turkey to coordinate attacks against Israeli targets, according to a document captured by the Israel Defense Forces in Gaza and revealed by The Times on May 13th. The document was found in the home of Hamza Abu Shanab, chief of staff to Hamas's leader in Gaza. The document revealed Hamas's intentions to attack Israeli targets in NATO countries. Hamas needs new bases because Israel's success in Gaza has put Hamas on the defensive, the report said. So Hamas initiated a 3-year plan to set up the Turkish base as a staging ground for assassinating influential Israelis, sabotaging Israeli naval vessels, and kidnapping Israeli citizens. The Bible prophesies an end-time alliance between European and Arab countries, and it specifically mentions modern Gaza and Turkey. This alliance will eventually take part in the largest Middle Eastern conflict in history, resulting in a nuclear World War III. To learn more, read A Mysterious Prophecy by Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry. Lai Ching-te, the winner of Taiwan's January 13th presidential elections, took office on May 20th. His pro-freedom stance infuriates Chinese Communist Party leaders. His inauguration could bring regional tensions to their highest since the 1940s. Lai is a member of the Democratic Progressive Party, Taiwan's most pro-freedom and anti-China party. Lai's election shows that the Taiwanese overwhelmingly do not wish to raise the white flag to the CCP. Yet the majority of Taiwanese do not at present want official independence. The majority prefer to maintain the One China policy, in which Taiwan is not officially independent but still has full political and economic autonomy. As part of his drive to protect Taiwan from a Chinese military takeover, Lai plans to increase defense spending while drawing closer to the nation's top ally, the United States. Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping has stated that China regaining full control of Taiwan is a historical inevitability. The Bible reveals that a major alliance of Asian nations is rising today, with Russia and China at the helm. Based on these prophecies and related passages about the weak will of America to stand up for its allies, the Trumpet has warned for decades that China will take Taiwan. To learn more about these prophecies, read Taiwan Betrayal. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you go. This week's edition of World Watch, as was mentioned there at the end of that segment, just go to our website, thetrumpet.com, or call the 800 number and subscribe to this wonderful magazine. No cost, no obligation. The number 1-866-930-3024. Another website, CelticThrone.com. The next performance, boy, is it Sunday? It's there's two next week. Three, sorry. You've got Baton Rouge, you've got Mobile, Alabama, and you've got the start of the swing through Florida. Just go to CelticThrone.com to find out how you can secure tickets for any or all of these performances. This is some feedback that came in response to last night in Shreveport. I think it was about 550 people or so that attended. So a great start to the summer tour. And here's a little bit of the feedback, clip 13.
Absolutely wonderful. I went to Europe several years ago, and I saw it on the street and fell in love with it. And then I just think it's great.
I loved it. It was very wonderful. Just the colors, the performers, the music and the performers, it was great. It was over too soon.
It was so much more than I expected. And I cried through almost the whole thing.
It was incredible. The sound was amazing. The singing was amazing. The dancing, spot on, incredible. I'm speechless. I'm blown away that it's teenagers. I've already sent invites to people that I know in Baton Rouge and in Mobile telling them that it's a must-see. They have to go.
I thought it was outstanding. I go all the way back to Riverdance in the 80s. These guys are on the same level. And I'm not kidding you. They are on the same level. These guys are very, very good.
I thought it was outstanding. When they told me these kids are from Oklahoma, I'm flabbergasted. We lived in Scotland. My wife's Scottish. We were thinking of which part of Ireland were they from.
It was very good. We enjoyed it.
A lot of favorite parts.
It was fabulous. It was wonderful. I personally want to thank Mr. Flurry because you're giving these children wonderful opportunity, and I'm so grateful you are here. Thank you.
Hey, I've been to Dublin to see Riverdance, and this is just icing on the cake. It was awesome. I love it. Love it.
We came from Kilgore, so it's probably an hour and 20 minutes from here.
Anybody that can ought to get out and see this.
They killed it. I was fired up wanting to get on the stage with them, and I'm an old man.
totally blew my mind how great they are. Thank you for coming.
It's fabulous. Absolutely wonderful.
Great.
Exciting.
Loved it. I'm a dancer. It was awesome.
It was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So talented. It was absolutely phenomenal. We enjoyed it immensely.
Fantastic.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Wonderful. Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, man, it was so great. I've always wanted to see this kind of program, but haven't been able to until now.
We felt like it was positive and spiritual and patriotic. All things good.
It was a wonderful show.
Yeah.
There's hope for America yet.
It never gets old, that last comment there. There's hope for America yet. Such a, as I was saying in the first segment about the Bronx speech, it's such a positive message that you get from Celtic Throne. And you see it. You see it in the responses, the crowd's reaction. We just need to fill up more of those seats. We need sellout performances in this tour through the Southeast and then eventually through the Southwest as well. One of the comments was referring to all the opportunities that God gives to our young people, and this is something that we point out and we emphasize with them a lot. This was an email that came in a few weeks ago in response to General Flynn's visit. Nice to see General Flynn honored again at Armstrong Auditorium. The students sang absolutely beautifully. So we had the young people yet again singing the Star Spangled Banner. It says, watching, this is another one, watching and listening to the young people and adults singing the Star Spangled Banner brought tears to my eyes. Their voices mingled together so beautifully, and listening to those words made me sad for my country to see all the evil happening in it now. It's difficult to live in our Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with the governor we have and so on. I mean, they're seeing it in their state. They're seeing the suffering. They're seeing the curses that have set in. Let me just, to put a little more focus on the Celtic Throne performance, coming to a city near you, just go to CelticThrone.com. This is the promo that we played earlier this week. The new and improved promo for Celtic Throne, clip 18.
Professional show that was on par with anything I've ever seen.
You're amazing! Congratulations on an amazing performance. I'm delighted to be part of it.
Country.
You are inspiring this nation. And that's something that we need right now.
Inspiring this nation, and it's something that the nation needs right now. Make sure you go to CelticThrone.com to find out where there's a performance near you. It's coming up to Baton Rouge on Sunday, Mobile, Alabama on Tuesday, I think it is, and then Fort Myers, Florida coming up at the end of next week. A few emails to finish off with. It says, as for Mr. D'Souza's suggestion for young people never to lose that childlike curiosity, and we've emphasized this point recently ourselves, because when he brought that up in his interview with me a couple weeks ago, I immediately thought of Herbert Armstrong, who in his autobiography talked about how that he was always asking why. And look at what God was able to do with his mind. With his ministry, in his own way, Dinesh D'Souza has that childlike curiosity as well. It says here, with me or my ever asking the question why, things that were happening were forever puzzling me. I think he's referring here to something Mr. Armstrong wrote. It says, from the age of 18, what was happening in my life was constantly making me feel I had failed to live up to my parents' standard, to be educated, to support myself. But instead, what prevailed? It says, through a string of endeavors, trying to succeed, I was always outwardly faking happiness. It says, when inwardly, I was really unhappy until the age of 31. But still, each day was a guess. So the education continues. The education never stops. Another one writes here, I enjoyed the interview on today's program. That man, speaking of D'Souza, that man's IQ must be off the charts. It is a little intimidating when you're discussing so many different topics with someone that really is very well educated by the world's standards, for sure. It says here, I love it when I hear the positive, uplifting effect everything at headquarters has on men like Dinesh D'Souza and General Flynn. They love it. They come to God's campus and they love everything about it. It has such a profound and positive impact on them. I don't want to leave, said Mr. D'Souza. It says here, another one, finally got to the interview with Dinesh D'Souza. I couldn't turn it off. He's the most articulate man I ever heard. High praise for Mr. D'Souza. It says, thank you for your excellent interview with Mr. D'Souza. I have been with you nearly every morning since May of 2015. And for me, this gentleman was the most knowledgeable, relatable guest so far. Great job. Another one here says, wow, every time I say you've outdone yourself, you keep doing it over and over again. This interview with Mr. D'Souza was really special. He's so articulate in his speech, in his understanding of so many things happening in the country. I've seen all of his movies so far, and I read his book, Obama's America. So looking forward to the Wednesday show to hear him again. Well, those are emails that came in a couple weeks ago when we had that special visit and those two programs where we were able to sit down with Mr. D'Souza. If you'd like to submit more recent feedback, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next week.